Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim with Wesley, and now Steve Paisley Jordahl joined us. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, everybody.
Raised in Kansas City, and we're in Tupelo and raised. So, is that Paisley?
Yep, Flowers.
Flowers, okay.
Yeah.
There's a distinction between just a flowered shirt and Paisley design.
Christmas came early. My wife got me some new shirts, so.
Okay, well, I like it.
Thank you.
So then you really won't be getting gifts on Christmas from her then?
No, it's
just spread it out?
No. We decided that we were going to give each other a couple trips next year, so we're going to go see some concerts and
that's cool.
Some kind of stuff.
Good.
Yeah.
So, Ray, do you watch any of the playoff games, the college
watched
football?
Watched them all.
I know. Yes. There wasn't a close one in the bunch.
No. Indiana face-planted. And then SMU face planted.
Yes.
And Clemson, I thought Clemson put up the best fight.
They did.
Of anybody. And then Tennessee, oh my. It used to be the not ready for primetime players, you know?
Yeah.
But that drama group. Tennessee, great university, and they had a great year. Man, that was a, was it 2-17?
Well, yeah. Game. To be fair to the teams that lost, they were all playing on the road, and they all were playing against excellent football teams. So anybody could have got blown out by Ohio State,
yeah,
or Penn State or Notre Dame or Texas. So because those teams were playing at home, and those fans were all fired up.
You had 104,000 or 106,000 people in freezing weather in Columbus. Now you know who I think ought to be complaining about this is the four teams that got the top four, you know, the byes, yeah. Georgia, Arizona State, and Boise State, and Oregon, right? Look, Boise State's got to now play Penn State down at the Fiesta Bowl. I mean, the home field stuff is gone. If I was Boise State, I'd say no.
Yeah, I got the bye.
Now, you really would want to risk playing a whole nother game instead of getting a free win and then going on to the next round?
No, I'm just saying.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying.
I'm saying if I was Boise State, because look, they're good. And that running back, Jonte, whatever his name is, he's really good. But I'd be saying, no, boys, we're not coming to Arizona. You come on up here to Boise and play on a blue field. You know, you see that bright blue field.
He's asking for the bye and the home.
And he wants it all.
That's what I'm asking for. That's right.
I was following you for a second.
Well, on to round two. Yeah. Congratulations to the losers from the weekend. They had great seasons, but
there can only be one
school standing at the middle of January, and so onward we go. And so you've got down 12 now, down to eight.
There's only one thing that we know for certain that is going to make a lot of college football fans happy.
Yeah,
it's not going to be Alabama.
Right, Alabama. Yeah, listen. Anytime you're on top of the world, you're going to get your haters. And a lot of them.
Oh, yeah.
And so everybody wants to bring down the king of the hill. Same way with the New England Patriots for all those years. Everybody's like going, anybody but the Patriots, because you're just tired of seeing the same teams win all the time. Unless you're that team, and then you want to win all the time. But, yeah, Alabama didn't make the playoffs. Maybe they will. They'll probably return next year. They'll be back next year.
We'll have to see. They've got a new coach now.
Yeah.
Saban's not there, so.
Yeah,
I thought, wait a minute. In our world, coach got fired today. Yeah, in our world, when you say new coach, that means yesterday.
No,
but I know what you meant. It's his first year there. Yeah,
yes, they have.
I know. I thought you meant Alabama fired their coach
already. No, that wouldn't surprise us in this world.
Three losses the first year. I don't know. That's pretty brutal.
Well, he won't be the coach next year if he loses three. I'll tell you that right now.
Tim, who's your pick? Who's your pick to go all the way?
3 weeks ago, before they lost to Michigan, I picked Ohio State.
Yeah.
I think they got the best team overall. And but we'll see. They match up with Oregon on, you know, in a few days. And Oregon's number one.
Pretty undefeated, good team.
13-0.
Yeah, but Ohio State's favored in that game by a point and a half, I think.
Yep.
Not that I bet. So don't send me emails. That's for entertainment
purposes.
We're
just commenting. That's all.
I'm just telling you what people who do bet think of the game. But it, you know what? There's some great teams left. There's several, but I would pick. You know, if you got to ask me to pick one, I would pick Ohio State as the best team left. But you know, hey, they could lose to Oregon. Who knows? All right, enough college football. We got to talk about more depressing things here. And so we got some positive news too. Yep. But Steve, what's your first story?
Tim, if I was not to show up to work for 6 months, do you think anybody would notice?
Well, yeah, I would think so.
Yeah, we would notice, Steve, because there'd be no more Paisley.
Wouldn't be a whole lot of Paisley. Well, if you're a congresswoman from Texas, you might not.
This is a weird story, people. Listen to this.
So Kay Granger, who's been a representative for Texas for many, many years, hasn't shown up for a vote since July.
United States House of Representatives member.
That's right.
Okay, it's the first I'm hearing of this.
The San Diego City Council.
Okay.
Right.
Meeting.
And so someone all of a sudden noticed that she hasn't been casting votes. They wanted to know where they were. Someone went by her campaign office. It was closed up and locked up. You call the office. You got an answering machine. They finally found her in a rest home. She had checked herself into a rest home.
How long has she been there?
She's been there since about July. And her son says that her decline has been very rapid. She's mental decline. She has dementia, and they put her in a rest home. They just forgot to tell the public. Yeah,
she wasn't in D.C. anymore representing them. That's wow. By the way, a rest home. Otherwise known as, is that same as like a nursing home or like assisted living type situation?
It's an independent living facility, but it has a memory unit.
I gotcha.
So yeah, she's in some mental decline. And
I don't know what
that
to
is
think
bizarre.
About that. Yeah, just on one hand you go, you think you tell somebody. On the other hand, how come nobody asked?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, how is that possible?
You could be I know you would think the news media.
The way Ray said that.
The news
that
media
possible?
Would be asking questions after 3 or 4 weeks of missing votes and things. I don't know. That's bizarre.
She's 81 years old.
Wouldn't the Republican, I mean, it was really tight. I mean, you know, we've talked about before the margin in the House.
Yeah.
Very, very. Didn't somebody.
Well, she would have won her reelection.
No, she's retiring. She did not run in 24.
Yeah, this
oh,
is.
Oh, she didn't run.
She didn't run in 24. She was retiring. So she was going to be out anyway, but she just disappeared.
I sure hope the Babylon Bee gets a hold of this one.
Right. I know. That's like a Babylon Bee story. It's real life. Where in Texas is this?
I believe it's somewhere in the Dallas area. Let me look. Because
those people should be ashamed of themselves.
For not noticing?
Yes. Absolutely. For not noticing. So shame them, Steve.
7th district of Texas, 12th district, Texas 12th, which is.
That's some laid back people right there.
Right? You know it. It is in Dallas-Fort Worth. It's
say the least.
It's just west of Dallas.
Okay.
Incorporating some of Dallas and some of Fort Worth.
All right.
Okay. All right.
Well, God bless her.
I appreciate you bringing that one in.
I hope she has a wonderful rest of her life. So checked herself into a place.
A rest home, a mental care facility.
So has her time serving run out?
She's still on the rolls.
Retired.
She's still alive, man.
Well, yeah.
Why do you ask a question like that?
From her job. But she's
she not dead
her.
Yet.
Yeah.
Oh, no, my bad.
No, we don't think. I mean,
right. I misinterpreted
so
what you
she
were
technically
saying.
Still has her duties and responsibilities.
Right. She's technically
but you also mentioned she's retiring. So
she's
I
retiring.
Guess, when's that date, or do we know?
January 20th.
Okay.
Or actually, no, January 2nd, when the new Congress is sworn in.
Okay.
Yeah, so. That's one of those things probably should have been on the checklist.
Yeah.
You know, give keys to the car to my son. You know, make sure I call... my sister and tell her what's going on. And, oh, yeah, resign from Congress. Maybe I want to do that. Anyway. All right. Well, as I say, we're just teasing around about that part. We wish the what's her name?
Kay Granger.
We wish her the best. Yes. And hope she has a nice new setup there and lives a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Next story.
I was.
Hey, by the way, I got a next story.
Yeah. Okay. Go.
I'm going to interrupt this program to bring you this report. And this is speaking of a bizarre story that's true that you think maybe wouldn't be true. This is I saw this morning. This is from the New York Post. At least 174 Colorado skiers, snowboarders, stranded for hours on a cracked lift, LIFT, forced to come down on ropes. Did you see this?
No, I didn't.
This was in Winter Park Resort.
Yeah.
In Colorado, obviously a snow skiing place.
Yeah.
And the gondola lift at Winter Park Resort came to a halt when its system detected a crack shortly after noon. This was yesterday, I think. So you had 174 people stranded.
Those lifts are not, it's not like you're in one of those gondolas that are enclosed. Right. They're just a seat. You're hanging out over empty air.
Yeah.
Right, for hours. Some of them had to go, the lift passengers were each lowered down by ropes.
Yeah.
The process took around 5 hours, leaving some riders stuck in the air for the better part of the day. At least it was a day, right? Ski patrollers reached the cabin of each suspended gondola from above and lowered the passengers' equipment to the ground before using a rope attached to each seat to safely move everyone back to the ground.
So if you're the husband that told your wife, yeah, look, this will be real quick. We'll use the restroom when we get back.
Right.
That's
awful.
That's another hole.
My husband will never live that way. Yeah.
They don't have, like, intercoms or loudspeakers on those lifts. What if you're one of these people and it
just
stops?
You don't know what's going on, right.
You have no idea what's going on for hours?
Yeah, you're having to check your news cycle.
You have your local. With you, yeah.
Yeah, local. Right.
Well, you know, and you know it's a bad feeling when you hear that thing go, womp, womp, and then it stops.
And you're swinging
and
there.
Stops, and I've been on those things before, and you think.
It's like in a movie.
Yeah, and I think one stopped one time, but it stopped for 5 minutes. Absolutely. But can you imagine hours, and then somebody's having to walk beneath you, yell up to you to say, hey, we'll get to you when we can, type situation. But 174 people were stranded for hours and hours here in what did I say? Winter what?
Winter Park.
Winter Park.
Where's that?
Colorado? It's in the Rockies.
Winter Park Resort. Winter Park Resort. So, yeah, make sure you've taken care of business before you get on there.
Winter Park is
maybe stuck for a while.
Winter Park is south of Denver.
Yeah.
Or east of Denver.
Now, they're probably not going to use that in their advertising material.
Yeah, I would think not.
Hey, come to Winter Park Resort, where you two could be stranded for hours and enjoy the romantic views out over the Rockies. While you hope that a blizzard doesn't roll in.
Man.
Oh, yeah.
All right, Steve, next story.
All right.
Everybody made it safely down, by the way. I'm glad to report.
Good to know.
Yeah.
I was doing some show prep, so did you guys talk about the Texas suing the NCAA over women in...
We have not.
Okay, well, Texas is suing the NCAA over over its allowing women into men into women's sports. So this is they're suing them under non-discrimination on the basis of sex education. That was the what they are challenging, a bill that's called the Non-Discrimination on the Basis of Sex Education Program. What they are saying, they are charging them with failing to deliver on a promise. So, like, it's a business charge that they said that you were going to come and see women's sports. Instead, you're seeing mixed gender sports, so you're false advertising.
Interesting. Okay, that's one angle I hadn't heard before.
Yeah. The rule would have outlawed individual states from banning participation in single-sex sports, but they this is Texas Department of Defense was the law justice department in Texas decided.
Ken Paxton?
Ken Paxton's department decided that they were going to sue over this, and they said, because you say you're coming to a women's volleyball match,
but then that makes
sense. All of a sudden you're not seeing a women's volleyball match.
Yeah. But I bet that didn't go on in Texas. Boys playing girls sports. Is that going on in Texas? They did have a couple of track athletes.
County by county is different.
A year or so ago, but I hadn't seen anything about it lately.
Yeah, this proposed rule, though, would have applied to Texas. It would have been a federal rule. So that's why they're challenging that.
Yeah.
So,
by the way, Biden's administration is dropping their lawsuit.
Yes.
Or is it a lawsuit? Dropping their Title IX.
It's not a lawsuit. It's a proposed rule change.
Okay, so this is great news, folks. You know, we've talked about how Biden, through his Department of Health and Human Services, a couple of years ago, or maybe not that long ago, remember we talked about this where he was saying to the states, hey, you got to let boys play girls sports or we're going to take federal dollars away from you that you would get through Title IX, what's called Title IX. Well, of course, many of the states said, we're not going to comply. We're not doing that. We don't care what you try to threaten us with. But now, one of the consequences of Trump winning was stopping this kind of garbage. Okay, and that's why this department has stopped, because they know they're about to leave office, go out of power, and so there's no point going on with this lawsuit. That's my opinion on this. Is that what you think? That's it, Steve? Got it right?
They said that they dropped this after hearing testimony. They said the withdrawal comes after hearing testimony during the comment period, but that ongoing lawsuits also played a part
good.
In the decision.
Good. I hope they listened to testimony from girls saying we don't like being spiked by boys in volleyball and putting our lives in danger.
Right.
Like basketball. That poor girl that got the boys who said he was a girl was playing volleyball and spiked the ball into the girl's face and – brain damage, gave her brain damage.
Mm-hmm.
And her mom was testifying before Congress.
Yeah. Yep.
Remember that?
Yeah,
about a week ago or so?
And that's one of a dozen instances.
Yeah. All right, we got about 7 or 8 minutes.
Okay, I got two more things here for you.
Okay, go.
this is a dangerous time in the world as we leave the Biden administration and go into the Trump administration. For all intents and purposes, Donald Trump has been president of the United States as far as foreign policy since the election. And now what we're hearing that Jake Sullivan, which is Joe Biden's national security advisor, briefed the incoming president on a risk that Tehran could start up its nuclear project. And since they have they've been weakened, all their terror proxies have been taken out, that as a last resort, they might build a bomb. For leverage, and hopefully not to use, but for leverage anyway.
This is not a new story, is it really?
Well, the briefing to Donald Trump was new. Jake Sullivan told Donald Trump that this is what they're worried about.
Yeah, I would say, well, what have you been doing about it?
Right.
Yeah.
For 4 years.
Well, they haven't been doing a whole lot.
No, they hadn't. They gave him money.
Yeah.
Biden gave him all the money. Right, Ray? Isn't that what happened? Took the sanctions off Iran, so they got a bunch of money. I'm not making that up. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
So, I mean, Biden has been very, very weak, to say the least, and dealing with Iran and terrorism in the world. So, of course, you see what happened in Afghanistan, our withdrawal there. But anyway, this has just been a 4-year nightmare is what it's been. So,
When the administration says we're worried that they're going to get nuclear weapons, can you imagine Tehran with nuclear weapons?
No, I can't. Neither can the world.
I don't think Israel would stand for it. I know that they've been talking with Israel, and somebody, the United States has been considering it, and Israel's been considering going after those nuclear facilities in Iran as a proactive measure to keep them from getting the bomb, which I think the world would be grateful for.
Yeah, but they'd blame Israel, blame the U.S. too. Probably the U.N. would if we attacked a sovereign country to take out nuclear weapons. But I do think most of the world would breathe a sigh of relief if we did. By we, I mean us and Israel. Namely us, because of the threat that Iran and the Ayatollahs are to world peace and security and our way of life. And, you know, they Nobody in the Middle East likes Ron. Nobody. Nobody in Persia does. Nobody in China may. I don't know. But they're a threat to the world. Iran is.
Yeah.
Iran or Iran.
And they've been chopped off at the knees.
Huh?
They've been chopped off at the knees by Israel taking out
Hezbollah
and...
And Hamas.
Hamas.
Yeah. Next story, Steve.
All right. Let's end with some good news here. NASCAR. I always like it when a story...
Yeah, Steve's a big NASCAR fan, people, in case you wondered. Go ahead, Steve.
NASCAR and Lowe's, have pledged $12 million to the recovery of the hurricane victims in western North Carolina. This is a story that has kind of slipped off of the front. $12 million, and here's how they're doing it. They're going to Lowe's is helping to purchase 100 tiny homes that they're going to deliver to people who are still without residence after the hurricane went through. So they're going to give them a little tiny home so that they have something, and they want it to be in place by Christmas.
That's a creative way of doing it because they don't have the time or resources. That really maximizes what they're able to do.
Yeah.
They don't have time or resources to build their houses for them, but a tiny home for people that are – you familiar with that, Dad?
Tiny home? Yeah, tiny home, yeah. I've seen it on TV.
Yeah, so 100 units arriving for families before Christmas Eve, literally bringing them home for the holidays. Lowe's, of course, is one of NASCAR's major sponsors, has been forever. So they're doing some good because this is a story that I kind of wanted to keep up with.
Yeah.
Because it goes off the front page. You know, we have an election. We've had so much stuff happen between then and now that we forget that there are people still suffering from that hurricane. They're still without homes.
Yeah.
In western North Carolina.
Yeah.
I know the Billy Graham Samaritan's Purse has been still on this too.
Well, good for NASCAR and good for Lowe's. I know that I think their headquarters is in Charlotte or somewhere. It's either North Carolina or South Carolina. I'm forgotten.
I believe it is. That's kind of why they're.
And that's big NASCAR country, of course. Yep. Talking about North Carolina. But
hey, that's a good story that reminds us, for us as Christians, this time of year, be looking for an opportunity to give a gift or serve someone or help someone in need in the name of Christ.
There you go.
This Christmas. Yeah, I know. In many ways, it's already here. But if you haven't already done something, be on the lookout for an opportunity.
If you miss Christmas, make it a New Year's resolution.
Yeah, absolutely.
Lowe's is based in Mooresville, North Carolina.
Gotcha. Yeah. I just add this: so our pastor, Dad, and I's, and mine, pastor, he's mentioned before the phrase when you do a good deed as a Christian, to say, on behalf of God's love for you, or make the connection, in addition to just doing something good, make the connection that you're doing it on behalf of being a Christian.
What your motivation is.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Another phrase is as a demonstration of God's love for you. We want to give you this gift or help out in this way.
Don't say you owe me one. I don't think that's a scriptural thing to say when you do something for somebody. You, Wesley?
No, I don't think so. Indian giving is not the.
Oh, you just blew it right there. You just Indian giving. We don't say that anymore.
That's right. I forgot. Yeah. I've already lost all. When I saw Trump won by the popular vote, I threw out all my PC.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Trump won popular vote. All PCs out.
We apologize to anybody who was offended.
Anyone and everyone.
Yes. Okay. No ill will intended. You got to learn how to talk, son.
I got it.
On live radio.
I go back.
Thank you, Ray.
Hey, thank you, Tim. Merry Christmas, everybody.
Merry Christmas. Mm-hmm. All right. We'll be back live on Friday, okay? We'll have some Christmas music, some Christmas specials. You enjoy your time with your family. We'll see you in a few days.